Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show, where we invite e-commerce entrepreneurs, marketers, and agencies to talk about e-commerce, the best strategies and tactics, and what to implement in your own e-com store. Before we jump into this episode, I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode. Hello everyone, here is Daniel Budai with a brand new episode of the Ecom Show, and today I'm here with the CEO and founder of SmartCups, Chris Kanick. And first we talked a few weeks ago or even months ago. He's a busy person, so it was a bit tricky to find a schedule, but finally he's here. I'm really excited about him because it's an exceptional product, exceptional startup and company. So this is our topic today. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Amazing. So before we start with the company, or before we talk about the company, I like starting with some personal background, and I like to see the entrepreneur in the business. So what's your background, and is this your first business, or you are a serial entrepreneur at this point? So yeah, tell us more about yourself.
Yeah, so I never envisioned myself being an entrepreneur. In fact, I don't even like the term entrepreneur because I think it's so overused by people today.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm just a guy who wanted to do something and makes it work, you know? And if there's a business involved with it, I guess there's a business involved with it. But I grew up in low-income housing back east. Both my parents are immigrants. My mom's from Cuba. My dad's from Turkey. Neither one of them went to college. And so for me, living in, you know, essentially poverty, one of the poorest areas in the Northeast and not in the country, I just always was thinking to myself, you know, like, how do I get out of this? The lucky thing that I had was that my parents really emphasized education. My father always said, you know, educate yourself, and that's the one thing nobody can take away from you. And when I was in the fifth grade, some teachers at the school that I attended identified me as being gifted and went to my mom and said, there's this program at Montclair State University, and we think that your son would be a good candidate for that. So I took my first chemistry class at Montclair State University when I was 10 years old. When I was 12, I started working in a lab at Stevens Institute of Technology. I was studying the degradation of aspartame in diet sodas at room temperature. So I learned how to use an HPLC machine, and I learned how to do analytical calculations. At 14, I continued doing research at Rutgers University in the Department of Nutritional Sciences. And I won a lot of science fairs, a lot of awards, a lot of accolades. And then I studied at another university. But I still kept the same track because my mom didn't want me to go off to college permanently. So at 18, I worked on a NASA-funded project at Rutgers University in the Department of Aerospace and Engineering, developing biologically based nanorobots. And so my team, me specifically, we were extracting the protein on HIV that extends out to our white blood cells. And so the way it attaches is there's a change of pH. As it gets closer, you know, it grabs on. It moves out and grabs on. So by extracting that and manipulating the pH, you have this motion, which is an actuator. It's a building block of a robot. And then
you said it's a nanorobot, right?
Nanorobots, yeah. Self-replicating, okay, self-maintaining nanorobots.
Mm-hmm.
At 19, I went to Cornell University. I was an American Chemical Society scholar throughout this all. And I decided, you know what? I don't like science anymore. I want to be a stand-up comic. So I was a stand-up comedian for about 7 years. I started in New York and ended up in California. And in 2011, you know, I mean, in about 2010, I got disenfranchised with stand up. I did very well for myself, and my career was going in the right direction. I was one of the first comedians to figure out how to leverage social media for promotion and to get a following. But I just got disenfranchised. And then in 2011, I figured out powdered alcohol in my kitchen. I was at a Taco Tuesday. Waitress wasn't coming fast enough with my margarita. So I had a glass of water on the table, and I said, how awesome would it be if I put some powdered alcohol in here? I grabbed the napkin, started drawing out a protocol. Next day, I went to the store, got a bottle of Everclear, some maltodextrin. I shimmied up my kitchen, turned a frying pan, some paper clips, and a coffee filter into the crudest spray dryer. I started a fire, and I blew up my kitchen, but at the same time, I was able to create three different flavors of powdered alcohol. And that started the trajectory for Smart Cups, really.
Interesting. Why was it such a new thing? I mean, powdered alcohol, I would imagine that that's something that, you know, big companies already came up with.
Well, yes and no. I started doing a deep dive and going, you know, I can't be the only schmuck who's ever come up with this. So I started looking up, you know, Kellogg's had a patent. There was a Japanese company that had a patent. The issue with powdered alcohol is that the government will never let you sell free-flowing powdered alcohol. The reason is, you know, there's regulatory safety, but the most important one being taxation. And so they want to get their tax money. You know, every cup, they know alcohol by volume. This is the first time that they had to think of alcohol by weight. So, you know, if they're pouring two scoops in a cup or three scoops, they want that tax money on that, right?
Yeah.
So the printing technology came to be because it was a solution to the taxation, regulatory, and safety issue, because you could print the powdered alcohol inside of the cup, add water, it dissolves. So I actually have been able to amend legislation in two states, essentially giving us a de facto exclusive in the sale and manufacture of powdered alcohol at Smart Cups. Not because I want to make instant margaritas, but because ethanol is a major carrier for a lot of medications. And so I wanted to go down that, you know, cough syrups or vaccinations or antibiotics, whatnot. And so we have a distillery permit here. So that's the powdered alcohol side of things, but the printing technology has applications in pretty much every industry. And the Smart Cups technology allows for the printing of ingredients on surfaces. It was originally developed to be a drug delivery system for patients who suffer from dysphagia. That's the difficulty swallowing tablets, but I commercialized it in the food and beverage industry first as proof of concept. And so in those industries and in the consumer product industry as a whole, we're viewed as a sustainability technology, primarily because we eliminate liquid from consumer products, reduce storage and transportation requirements, unnecessary packaging, and as a result, decrease carbon emissions. In 2021, Time Magazine recognized us as one of their on their list of 100 best inventions of the year. And most recently, we were featured on a new Fox show called Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars, where 15 contestants, all entrepreneurs, were vying for Gordon's investment. I ended up winning the contest and earned an investment from Gordon for $250,000. I decided to go on the show because it aligned with the installation of our fully automated production system that took 4.5 years and a little over $8 million to put together. It's patented. We're the only people that can do it, but it'll allow us to take on enterprise business. And so since 2018 to currently, we've been selling a proof of concept line of energy drinks. And so it's a stack of 10 cups. We don't make the physical cups, so I want to make that clear. We source them. So the cups for the energy drink line are made out of PLA, cornstarch, and each cup has 125 milligrams of caffeine, amino acids, B vitamins, the flavor profile, the sweetener. I did an energy drink because not because I love energy drinks or because I wanted to take market share in the energy drink market, but because it was the closest thing to pharmaceuticals, non-nutraceutical, highest price point beverage that we could bring to market that could demonstrate the capabilities of the technology. Plus, it was high margin. We had limited production capacity. So when we started, we only had the ability to produce 400 to 800 cups in an 8-hour period. Currently, we can go exponentially higher because we've automated. And so we've taken a phased approach at drawing this out. And recently we signed a licensing deal with a global pet product company called Capanna. And a couple weeks ago in Orlando at the Global Pet Expo, we unveiled a line of printed pet products. And so pet supplements printed in recyclable paper bowls for cats and dogs. So your hip and joint immunity, digestive. And so Capanna likes the technology because they're killing two birds with one stone. And that's pet bowls are havens for bacteria, and getting supplements to your pets is a pain in the butt. So this way, you can kill those two birds with one stone in a sustainable manner. And so we're very excited about that partnership, but it really represents the next evolution of smart cups, because moving forward, you'll probably never see a smart cups branded product on the market. We're shifting our strategy to white label, private label, co-manufacturing, and licensing. Everything powered by Smart Cups technology, because ultimately we want to be the Intel inside. So yeah, that's Smart Cups in a nutshell. We're pretty excited about the opportunities. We've gained global visibility and really heightened the profile. We anticipate that we'll probably be at capacity by the end of this year or early 2025. So we're identifying a second facility, much larger, that can keep up with the anticipated volumes that we're going to be expecting. Business is crazy. You know, I've sacrificed so much to get to this point. I had no idea that it was going to turn into what it is today. So
then you blew up the kitchen, right?
And when I blew up the kitchen, I was working from the kitchen table. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story, and thanks for sharing it. Amazing. So a couple of questions. So it looks like you don't want to, you know, just become the next energy drink brand, smart cups and all of that. It's more about the technology that's in the center of everything, right?
Yep.
And you try to find different ways to really leverage the technology. I'm curious why you look for co-manufacturers and this partnership instead of, you know, what many people do, like, okay, let's build a brand, let's focus on one product, this is the next thing, and, you know, this product is the future. Rather, you look for these partners. That's the approach that you have now, right?
Yes, correct. That is the approach that we have. I mean, it just helps us because our technology is a platform that has applications in almost every industry. We don't want to be out there selling mouthwash and pharmaceuticals and pet products and food and beverage and be competing with the larger companies. We'd much rather license or manufacture for a company and have them distribute. And, you know, if they're an existing brand with high distribution volumes, you know, that it just makes more sense for us as opposed to dumping marketing dollars all over the place.
Yeah.
Trying to compete with all the big boys.
Yeah. Basically, in this case, it's better to have a smaller slice of the huge pie than trying to have the whole pie, right? Which is already difficult with these big players out there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the approach. Yeah. Tell us more about Foodstars. So how does this really work? I'm pretty sure some listeners, they want to get on TV, Shark Tank, or, you know, any of these shows, they expect big things from them. And what's your honest opinion on this show and just being on these TV shows in general?
Yeah, it's always an interesting, you know, because of my background in entertainment, I was used to it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they really create a pressure cooker situation. That TV show was the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. You know, it's high pressure. It was 2 months of my life. I was away from my family. Didn't get to see them. It wasn't until the final episode that I actually saw them in 2 months. But it was every episode, everything you do is high pressure. It's timed. You know, personalities are involved. I'd like to say that I'm the one contestant on the show that never fought with anybody. The reason is I went in knowing that how I behave is a representation of the technology that I've dedicated 11 years of my life to. And I'm a legitimate business person. And I can't engage in petty squabbles. I'm not a cook. I was the one contestant with zero culinary experience. And it's
Who were the other contestants? Just, I'm curious.
So you got Aaron Valentine, who's the snow on the show. He was a snow cone king. Tony B, his steak chips. You got Jordan, who's a restaurateur, who's, I just visited him in Chicago. He's got an amazing restaurant over there. Luther, who's got Luther Bob's Chicken. You had Chanel, who had a food truck. Sydney, who's got Toto Cookies. It's a gluten-free, all-organic protein cookie that tastes delicious. Caroline, who had her pizza sauce. Lan, with her Vietnamese coffee, fat milk. Let's see who else. There was, I'm drawing a blank now. I lived with these people for 15. Oh, Alisa with her cake mix. Kagan with, you know, his crepe and coffee shops.
Don't have to list out everyone.
So I think but the top three ended up being Lan, Caroline, and me.
Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show. I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode.
Yeah. So very different. Very different people probably than you and your products, right? You come from more like a tech background, right? And chemistry and all of that.
Yes.
Is it something that you are planning to do in the future, getting on more TV shows and more PR campaigns?
Yeah, actually, I don't know about TV shows, but, you know, I'm doing a lot of speaking engagements now. I was... we're doing an event next month in New York for the Wall Street Journal. So we're doing a lot of events that, you know, can continue to ride the wave of momentum and get us to higher visibility. Because my goal is that within the next 5 years, the smart cups will be a globally adopted technology.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Not just in the US, right? But worldwide. Yeah. What will you tell to those people who also have an idea and maybe they are just, you know, afraid of getting out and showing it to others or even, you know, trying to find partners. I know so many people, you know, like smart people, but they are introverted or they are afraid to show their inventions and things that they came up with to other people.
Say that one more time.
Yeah, so what would you tell to those people who came up with a new thing? They invented something and, you know, they are introverted or they are afraid to go out and show it to other people. Maybe they don't lack the confidence.
Yeah, I always say this to people. And I just said this at a conference that I spoke at. And there were, you know, hundreds and thousands of scientists there. And I said, you know, everybody talks about how they care about innovation. But the fact of the matter is, unless you make people care about innovation, they don't really want to disrupt the status quo.
Yeah.
And so smart people, chemists, scientists, engineers, mathematicians, engineers, typically are introverted. They're poor communicators. They don't know how to advocate or promote.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes what I see is they get used and abused and then put in the corner. So they really, you got to really work on your communication skills. You have to go outside of your comfort level and your comfort zone to go make something happen if you believe in it. I mean, believe it or not, I'm actually more introverted than I am extroverted. You know, I do it because I think I learned it as a survival defense mechanism. But, you know, scientists and inventors, they need to get outside of their comfort zone. And I tell people, just go do stand-up. Stand-up. Go on stage, tell stupid jokes, bomb. Get that feeling in your system. Get it out. And then go speak about something that you actually know about and that you're passionate about. Because your passion has to come out not only in your words, but also in your body language, in your facial expressions. And so that's the advice that I typically give young entrepreneurs who are like inventors or scientists.
Yeah, I just talked at a conference 2 weeks ago. I had two keynotes, and now it was easy because I've been doing this podcast for 4 years, YouTube for 3 years. But I remember 6 years ago at my first conference, I was so bad. Like, the organizers told me that this is terrible. Like, you lack the confidence of speaking publicly. And just starting a podcast, YouTube channel, it helps you so much. You can do stand-up comedy. I listen to a lot of American stand-up comedy, by the way. It really helps to understand the culture better.
Yeah.
So those are really important.
And who's your favorite comedian?
I like Joe Rogan. I was in Austin, Texas. You know, I watched him live. I guess he's just very popular nowadays.
Great.
And then a guy from South Africa. What's his name?
Noah Trevor.
Trevor Noah. Yeah. I like him too. I just listened to a girl recently. I'm not good with names. I think she's from New York. She's on Netflix as well. She has like two or three shows on Netflix. So yeah, there are many interesting ones. And I think if we think about big inventors, they learn how to communicate. Like Elon Musk, like now he's pretty good at speaking. Like 10 years ago, he was stuttering and it was much worse. Or there is this story about Tesla and who's the other guy, the American guy? They were big competitors. Tesla was the guy who was more like introverted and couldn't communicate very well. And I forgot the other guy's name. Basically, they just, you know, did a lot of things, many things about electricity at the end of the 19th century.
Yeah.
Edison. Yeah, Edison. So Edison was a much better businessman, communicator. Tesla was more like introverted. And I think Tesla died very poor.
Yes.
He had a sad story. So, you know, all of these stories, or think about David Attenborough. So he's a great communicator. So I think, understanding these scientific things is just one thing, but communicating to regular people, that's another. So everyone needs to learn this. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Communication's key. And if you can't communicate properly, you're never going to be successful.
I'm curious about your team structure. So how many people do you employ? Do you prefer more, you know, like a lean team you prefer, you know, investing into hiring heavily? What's your approach there?
We've taken a lean approach to this. You know, we're essentially creating a new consumer behavior. So, it's a lean team. But I think, you know, when we grow and we grow into our second facility, the team's going to have to grow.
Yeah.
The system that we designed is such that you don't need very many people to operate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, we have 5 full-time employees here in Smart Cups. And I think with contractors and whatnot, probably 30 total. You know, most people we can communicate remotely and that we can get what we need from them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Got it. Yeah, and so what's the next step for you at this point?
Next 3 years, my goal is to close two to three more license deals with global companies. We're about to roll out with our printed pet product. And you know, our enterprise customer will start putting that globally. We just signed a development agreement with DevCom, which is part of the U.S. Army, to develop innovative micronutrient delivery systems for soldiers. And we're in discussions with several other multinationals. So, you know, my goal is that in the next 2 to 3 years that we have at the very least 3 to 4 license enterprise deals, whether it be a printed mouthwash, a printed soup. You know, my real goal is to get pharmaceuticals in place, because this technology can have a huge impact for humanitarian and disaster relief. And I was at the UN a week ago and talking to a potential partner that we actually signed a deal memo on how we could work together to provide micronutrients and housing to Gaza and to some of the people that are starving over there. But, you know, the ability to provide micronutrients and medications to privileged regions around the world in an efficient and a sustainable manner is very near and dear to my heart. You know, so when you look at food, you also have to think about refrigeration, shelf life, et cetera. So there's a number of projects there that I want to get up and running, and get a key partner in the pharmaceutical industry to help co-invest and develop some products there.
Yeah, pharma is the hardest because of the regulations. Is that the main challenge?
Regulations, and you have to go through clinicals, and you have to get all the regulatory dots and T's. And
yeah.
So, you know, the reason I didn't go into pharma first was because I didn't want to, you know, go raise, you know, $20-40 million to go develop a pharmaceutical facility. Now, we are a FDA registered pharmaceutical facility, but, you know, getting the clinicals done, getting all those things done, it costs a lot of money, and it takes people. So rather than the small guy go chase that down, I went for the low hanging fruit, which was food and beverage.
Out,
and then bring in the partners to come prove it out.
Yeah, I talked to a few other entrepreneurs or, you know, inventors who target pharma or medical devices. And in the EU, for example, it takes years, like minimum 3 years to get these licenses and investments, all of that. So, it's not that easy. So, Chris, thank you for sharing your story today. And I think we learned a lot. I wish you success with this company and with this invention and technology. Let's see this in more different industries. And I think it really helps humanity in general. So, yeah, thanks again. Thanks, everyone who listened to the podcast. And if anyone wants to find you, where they should go?
Go to smartcups.com. We are raising capital right now on the equity crowdfunding site StartEngine. And so we have 7 days left until the round closes. So if anybody's interested in investing, you know, they could go to smartcups.com and they could press the tab and get taken to where they need to go.
Amazing. So until the end of April, right?
Yes, until the end of April.
Amazing. Thanks again, Chris. And thanks, everyone who listened to us. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.